Welcome inside the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship podcast, everybody. It is the end of the Daytona 200, and I'm extremely excited, first guest up, to have the man who just did what he does. My dude, how you feeling?
Sore.
Yes.
That was tough.
Yes. It's Ben Young, a 10th place finish in a well-fought battle. You had to grind for that thing, dude. Like, that was an absolute battle. How rewarding does this feel after the end of the week with the bike problems on Thursday, trying to figure things out, moving things around on the Friday leading into the Saturday, going out for your warm-up, we got some stuff we still have to work on. And then it was just systematic. It was chip, 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 chip. And then I have to imagine that the grind of this feels as rewarding as pretty much anything you've done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a lot of work, and it's not just the last 3 days. So to have myself and my teammate Trevor Daly finish is a huge feat in itself.
Yep.
Unfortunate Trev had a little get off, but it was still awesome. He managed to finish the job in his first Daytona 200. You know, that's a great goal, is just finish for your first time, and to do it and I think finish 20th is, you know, it's great. And I feel for a lot of the guys out here that, you know, it's a lot of effort, and a lot of them didn't make it past the first stint, so that's really unfortunate. But the boys did a great job. We put in two great pit stops for myself. It sounds like they had two great pit stops for Trevor, so that's four total. So they must be really, really thankful that that's all done, and I know I am for sure. So it all goes down to the crew at the end of the day. I couldn't do anything without them, and we timed it well with our great first two stints. It was very interesting going into the second stint. A lot of guys came in early.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was, they were kind of banking on a red potentially, so they had fresher tires. I'm not really too sure, but I came out after the second stint and quite a ways behind those guys, and honestly a bit of fault of my own. I got jammed up in the pit lane with a guy that was a lap back, and he was like not moving over, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. I wasn't too aggressive, got the job done, got by him, and then put my head down and caught that group up. And I think there's four or five of them, PJ, Kayla, I think Corey Alexander's in that group at one point. I think he pitted in.
You ran with the Rahals all day, felt like.
Tell me about it. That's all I could hear.
You were surrounded by the Ducati engines.
And then even at the start, me and Slick, like, going at it, just looking at each other, like, just having a time nodding our heads as we're coming sideways, first gears out of corners. And, it was super fun. But, PJ and Kayla, they're so small. And getting tucked behind them was tough. And T. Cobbs as well, we battled out with him. And, just being able to get by them after that second stint and then put in some hard laps. In your head, you're like, hey, I need to break these guys. I think I can break them. But actually to do it is another thing, especially with the draft. And then there was a guy a lap down, Perez, and he kept putting up a fight. And I'm like, dude, get out. Just like trying to jam me up.
Well, it's interesting hearing you say that, though, because on the broadcast, and you obviously don't know this because you literally just finished the race. You're still in your race suit. You're covered in sweat. You're sore. You're tired. You're trying to pound some water back because you're trying to get your body to feel regular. They gave you great compliments on the broadcast for Moto America because when Josh Herron went past, they went, well, yeah, that's a seasoned guy. That's Ben Young, who knows that Josh Herron's coming. He gets out of the way and he lets him fly, and then you move on with the next thing. There's certain guys who get it. There's certain that don't. So it seems like Diego Perez didn't really get the message and the idea that it's like this is still a top 10 bike that's sitting inside you. But at the same time, you did have to battle through all those Ducati engines. You did have to. I mean, T. Cobbs is no joke because what – that Suzuki M4X Star team was doing throughout the week, whether it was the top three or three of the four, or whether it was practice, quali one, quali two, like they were on it.
Yeah.
Right? For much of this week. And so you end up being able to battle through, see that, and I can't tell you how much fun you're going to have when you see the relief on your dad's face when he finished the second of the two stops and he realized,
oh, I bet.
Done.
No, for sure. We got a little hung up on my rear, and you know that maybe cost us and put us in that back there. But you know, it's tough. Yeah, Josh came by, or you know, I kind of let Josh by, and and regardless of him being the leader or not, he's a buddy. So it's that you definitely want to make sure you get out of your buddy's way, and kind of same thing with Fong. And then I seen Hayden was behind Bobby and kind of fit in the middle for a bit, and then again got out Hayden's way because again don't want to jam anybody up. And knowing that I wasn't on the same, although I was on the same, I was on the lead lap at the ambush, strategy was just different, right? I was I was still yet to come in.
How weirded out were you by the idea of some people pitting early and then the question of whether or not they were going to have to splash? Because the Rahals came in, I believe it was Kayla,
like,
and
23
Pete,
laps to right. go.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
And we saw it, right? And we're standing there, and everybody in the Bridgestone pit just starts looking at each other and going,
did they? Yeah, even well, like, I was questioning myself because I'm like, because we're doing a countdown from 57,
yeah.
like the amount of times I ran the math through my head to be like, we're coming in on lap 17 and did it again. Yeah, it's for sure coming 17. And then even like I did like two or three laps solo without Teague Hobbs as well. And I was just kind of like, okay. And then, obviously we didn't run out of gas. That was the main thing. But I was honestly really riding reserved in that second stint when I was behind Hobbs. I wasn't going full throttle. I was staying out of his draft because I knew I couldn't go forward from that point.
Right.
We were just going to battle it out, and my engine temp was through the roof. Oof. I didn't grab a rag to wipe my face after the first stint, so I'm sweating. And you're constantly in the bubble. Your air vents in your helmet are getting no air. So I was kind of keeping my head up just to let the air coming through, keep out of the draft just to kind of keep the bike cool and just kind of ride a bit conservative. Once he came in, I was like, hey, now I need to crush some laps, hard break into one, know where my strong points are, and put in some time to get the job done.
Much deserved beer,
yeah.
By the way, I know this is an audio medium, but it's fine. Your team, the greatest pit stop. I would love a beer. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day,
this is what the boys want.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, he must have shook those up before.
He's playing games on us. No, he's got to do a beer run on Ava Daly's. Yeah, there you go. He's got lots more.
What a hero. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, cheers. Congratulations on a top 10 finish, Bennett. It is truly incredible to be able to see the way that this has all come together for you guys. Like you say, this give people a sense of this program when it started taking shape, because we've talked about it with you and Trevor. But now that it is done, this is where I think the retrospective actually becomes important, when you realize that you guys have been trying to work towards whatever this was going to be for so long. And the average person goes, oh, nice, yeah, that guy finished 10th. It's like, no, that didn't happen yesterday.
100%. And honestly, I wouldn't be standing here right now if it wasn't for Trevor Daly. Trev and I think we mentioned we wanted to put a program together 2 years ago for the Superbike program. It didn't quite happen. And then we shift when Trev hurt himself and Shubenacadie shifted his weight to this and put focus on this project, and we pitched it back in Bridgestone and at CTMP, and you know, 8 months later here we are. And I mean, I'm proud of absolutely everybody in this project. They've done such a great job, and I honestly couldn't have done any better today. Yeah. Honestly, like I said, I gave it my 100%, and there's not one part of me that says, you know, I wish we did that, I wish we did this. We did what we could with the limited track time we had on the 750 coming into this weekend, with all the rain days we had and no testing at the Bridgestone day at Jennings. So yeah, we're really proud to be here and hopefully do everybody proud.
I know you're proud because of what happened in terms of the setup and the overall result and all the rest, but based on when I talked to you at the Toronto Bike Show, people that listen to this podcast, and you said, you know, people thought what was new was not new. Mm-hmm. And people thought that what a stop really was not really what a stop was. Like, it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. It 100%. Wasn't what you hoped it was going to be. How much does that lean into your level of satisfaction coming out of this now, where you're going, you know what? Yeah, both times when I came out of my stops, I felt like I was on top of the world, because it was get off the bike, grab a drink, back, front, gas, on, down, go.
No, 100%. I was actually nervous both times. I didn't even grab a drink.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't even notice
and
that.
And I only wiped my face the
Wait,
second
so you
time.
Didn't have water the whole time?
No.
What are you doing?
That's why my body's so mangled right now.
Get this man a BioSteel sponsorship. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, so I think that's definitely why I'm so super tight. And the worst part is, too, I've seen the gap go up in the pit board from 2 seconds, then 3 seconds, and six seconds, and nine. So, and then you've got five laps to go, so your body's just like, goes into like a finish the race mode, because you've got that. So you, instead of having, you know, when you have that pressure of the guys behind you, you can focus on that and not counting down the laps. But also the last like three laps, instead of being like dreading three laps to go, I was like, well, this is the third last time I'm going to be coming around here for this year. And then this is the second last time I'm going through this corner for this year. And then this is the last time. So they frank frantically wave the final lap flag too. So I kind of got psyched out. They're like, oh, it's done. But, you know, because we just hold it, I believe. I don't think it's waved.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously we realized it was not the checker. And, wild time. But
When did you realize, because there was a section of the race as well, I believe it was in the second stint, where Stefano Meza was out in front of you. And it might have been the chunk you were talking about with T. Cobbs, but we were watching the timing screens back at the Bridgestone pit and seeing, you know, he was, I think, 2 seconds or 3 seconds up on you. And then it expanded to kind of 8, but we looked at the time split for the person behind you, and it was 20, 30. Like, it was a big chunk, I believe. And this was probably 10 laps to go, something like that. At what point did you actually realize, I'm in a safe spot. This has been a really good day. Let's get this thing home, especially because of the gas mileage and psyching yourself out about the two-stop, three-stop strategies and all the rest.
Honestly, it was once Josh came by me, and then I looked behind me again and seen there was nobody because I made sure that I wasn't in any way of a battle. And then I didn't even get a blue flag for Richie. Yep. I also got a blue flag for Josh, but I didn't really do anything. I just did my own thing because he wasn't that much quicker when he came by.
Right.
It wasn't like he was lights out. Like, it was maybe only a second a lap. But I was confused too because I just passed Hayes. So I thought maybe they thought Hayes was lapping me or something. I didn't really
know. This is the thing I don't understand. Yeah, how you guys tough. Are supposed to read, like, when you don't have comms.
No, 100%. Right? It was tough.
You're trying to read a blue flag, and the blue flag could mean one of four things.
100%. And I got no blue flag for Richie. But again, I was comfortable with the pace I was riding, that I knew that when I was getting lapped, I wasn't holding those guys up. Richie, again, he was probably thankful that I didn't do anything silly, and I did go quick through the chicane because he passed me just kind of coming through the oval. And once he came by me, I got back in his draft and could have easily passed him back, but I thought, nah, there's no point in this. But
I think that's a credit to your racecraft as well, because racecraft means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But to me, it's the idea of you are a champion in Canada three times back to back, and you know what it means for somebody like Josh Herron, as you say, he's a buddy, to go.
Yeah.
And you know Richie Escalante, okay, he's got a faster bike right now. He's ripping.
Yeah.
So it's better for you to go fast through to give Richie the understanding of, I'm not going to play this weird game of fast, slow, weird, weird line. It's like, I'm just going to go quick, get out of your way. You guys go do what you're going to do. Go be great. I'm going to finish the best that I possibly can.
100%.
I think there's a lot to be said for that, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And like I said, once I knew I had that gap behind me, it was no drama just to let those guys by and just sit into my rhythm. And even if I was going slower than them at the end, I was more than I was doing enough.
Yep.
Knowing the gap I had with three laps to go, I would have had to do like 58, so 55, you know, whatever. And I wasn't doing that. We were still sitting in the 52s. So, yeah, we got her done.
That's amazing.
Did the job.
Well, congratulations. I guess I'll ask you one hard question, because this is a day of celebration after everything.
Yeah.
Is there anything you could have, like, is there a single thing that you look back on, like, right away, and you're like, if I would have blank, maybe we would have been top five?
Yeah, I feel like definitely Thursday, Friday, if we didn't have those issues in practice, that definitely could have done a lot more for us. Minimal laps, and the half the laps we got, we didn't have full breaks for them, if any breaks. So it was really tough to get that. And, you know, I was disappointing yesterday in qualifying. I definitely let the guys down. If I qualified better, that's like my frustrating point. And it's not that the guys did anything wrong. It was me. I didn't put myself in the right situation at the right time and get a draft. And it was windy yesterday.
Yep.
The draft is worth 0.7 of a second, potentially even a second. So if you knock that 0.7 off, that puts me in 12th, 13th, you know, or even if I made the shootout. But then again, it's racing. Anything can happen.
Yep.
Four Eyes blows up, lap two, lap one, whatever. Hickey blows up, puts shit everywhere, and even everybody's going wide, and I'm like, nice, and then went straight across. I got absolutely caked in oil, granted.
No.
Had to pull a tear off, but we escaped through there fine. But for there was a few laps, if you came really tight to the stripe over the checker, it was a bit gnarly, but
amazing.
Tough for those guys to come all this way and things like that happen, but that's racing, and they're in one piece and they're safe to do it again next year.
Yep, absolutely. And we're looking forward to seeing you out on the grid coming up round one in Shannonville. But between now and then, just go enjoy. Go have some fun.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Job well
Thanks,
done.
Buddy.
Congratulations.
Thanks, dude.
Welcome back inside the Bridgestone paddock here on the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship podcast. It is, I would say, overall, a very happy area right now. And I'm very thankful to be joined by Trevor Daly, who is One Speed Inc., of course, and the energy, the motion, the builder, the grinder behind the overall results that played out today. Trev, congratulations on everything you've done building this program.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a long journey and been a fun one. It's been a great experience working really closely with Bridgestone and their whole crew. Not only this weekend with all the engineers, but just the experience in getting here and putting this program together with Ben and myself. And first time riding the bikes last week to get two bikes in the top 20. I had a little mishap, but was able to continue. And I think it's awesome to see a solid result for Ben. And like I said, I think both bikes finishing, says a lot. My goal was kind of in the top 20,
yep.
Mishap free, had a little mishap and still ended up there. So with how solid the grid was this year, some of the big names, kind of looking at last year, it was like, top 15 would be amazing for first Daytona 200. As the last months and the last weeks, all these names start coming out. It's like, top 18, top 20 would be pretty satisfying, right? Yeah. So like I said, it was a bit of a race getting there, but a lot to take from it, and hopefully come back next year and do better.
And the thing that I think I take away from this is from being around you in the winter and coming up to One Speed and seeing you building this thing out and all the rest is, yes, you guys are all narrowly minded in the idea of go for the front, try to get top 3, top 5, top 10. But under the circumstances of the fact that you guys lost track time, you were struggling, the brakes were not fun on Thursday. And then you swap that out, you build it out, you progress, you build some speed, you go into quality 1, quality 2, all the rest. When I see the way that you guys built through this weekend, and as you say, which I'm going to ask you about in a second, but you have an incident today, and then you end up, and this is the thing that I hope people are aware of as well, that are listening to this, is like you had a major injury way less than a year ago, and you go through an incident at Daytona after grinding through the winter of building out these two GSXR 750s, and you find a way to still finish top 20. To me, and again, I have a different perspective than you do, being top 20 based on the story, the grind, the incidents, that is incredible. Like, to me, that's a huge win, and I don't know how you would possibly look at this entire experience in your first year running in the Daytona 200 and not be on the way home and just go, you know what, we did the damn thing.
There's two of us too, right? So I guess for me personally, it was an accomplishment to get here and have the on track presence, but also the paddock here. I think everyone walking by, we really stood out and we're really organized, and the crew did an awesome job with that too, and like I said, there's positives on every side of it, and truly no negatives, right? We had a little bit of teething, we had a little bit of learning experience,
yep.
But that
would have been to expect a little bit though,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah,
you guys had a fall safe plan for some issues that might have popped up, and then they did, and then you relied on your plans.
Yeah, well that, and like I said, we're talking about me building the bikes, but there's a lot of people behind this.
Yep.
Like I said, A, from Bridgestone, but also, Willie Vass, and the whole crew. As much as I was maybe the hands putting the parts on or building the parts, Willie's been on the other side of a text message, 7-8 times a week. And his experience and Ben's whole crew and my whole crew, Pat Barnes has raced this race plenty of times, having, Kenny and Roland Reedman, Kenny's raced it plenty of times. Having a guy like that on the pit board, he knows exactly what I want to see, when I want to see it. And like I said, it's just it's a collaborative effort, and I think as much as there's been a lot of work to get here, and that work paid off today. I think it wouldn't have been possible with everyone involved too. So, big thanks to them, big thanks to all the partners in the team, because obviously Team Battle Axe is we had the big B on the side, big Bridgestone on the side of there, but there was there's a lot of people involved to get here, so.
What do you think the odds of me getting Willie on the podcast are?
probably about the same odds as getting him to cut his hair, but we were close the other year. But no,
at some point we'll try to pull Willie over and see whether he'll talk about the helping you try to build this thing out. But I do have to ask you about your incident that happened. Because we're watching on the monitor and following along, I was in the Bridgestone pit the entire race, and I'm going from monitor, tracking you guys, seeing your times, your splits, looking at the timing screen for Moto America, looking up, seeing you come past, okay, who are you with? All right, go back to the screen, over and over and over and over again. It's just everybody in the entire pit is just, okay, what's happening here? What's happening there? What's happening here? What's happening there? They didn't, I don't believe, because I might have missed it, but what you went through, you got the ice on the hand, you're limping around a little bit, you're feeling it. It wouldn't be a Trevor Daly experience without having a little bit of an adventure. So tell us what happened, because I heard you talking about it on the other side of the wall here, and I sounds like you went into a pretty wild place.
Well, I guess they don't call me that wild child for no reason at home there, but had a good first stint. Kind of was getting, feeling out some changes that we made before the race, and just getting comfortable. Like the first two laps, I think it was a little mayhem in front of me, behind me. I had an awesome start. Ben was, I think, five rows ahead of me, and yep. I was behind him going into turn one. Obviously, guys parking it in there, trying to win on the first lap, kind of let him do it, right? Got in a little hot, massive. You're used to maybe a 1-2 bike draft, and we had a tailwind too. We could see in the along the back straight with the big flags in the corners.
Yep.
And got pulled in there a little bit deep and ran through the grass. But just kind of got into a groove. And, there's a couple other Suzukis that, were pretty quick. And, they kind of pulled me in the first half of the stint, and I was able to pull them back in. And, we kind of ended up in a similar place after the first pit stop. And it was a similar thing. They were pulling away from me a little bit and just kind of, the tables were just starting to turn the opposite way and starting to pull them back in. And, got a little wild, I guess, coming out of the chicane off the back straight, and just got a little happy on the gas and ran through the dirt, and a lot of guys were doing it. It wasn't
on the inside of the dirt is where you went.
You do the left, the right, the right, and then the left coming out, and you're getting on the gas, standing the bike up, and you're wheeling out of there, and you're moving your body over the top of the bike to get it to turn, and probably just gave it had a little bit too much wheelie and ran off the curb. And like I said, I've been done it a couple times this weekend, and a lot of guys have, trying to get on the gas to get a run onto the front straight. And I think that hole's gotten a little bit bigger, and the curb was somewhat smooth through the grass, but it ended up hitting that, bent a wheel, felt the vibration pretty much right away, and then went in the infield, had a huge moment through the kink. It's you're on the rev limiter in third into there, or even clicking fourth, and had a huge moment there, collected myself in turn five, went into turn six, which is probably the second hardest brake zone.
Yep.
Really hard brake zone
other than one.
I would say two or the chicane are probably the hardest. You're in there, nose pretty hard, but just kind of went in there, front gave up on me right away, kind of came off the brake, stood the bike back up, and then had to get back in the brake, and it gave up on me. I got trapped under the bike a little bit and went into the air fence, and the bike was on top of me. But the marshals were pretty quick, and they started picking the bike up and starting to wheel away from me. I was like, no.
Give that thing back.
I'm riding it in at least. Right?
Do you not know who I am? That's what you should have said to them, is like, hey, are you familiar with the resume? Get over here. Give me that thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure if my shoulder popped out when the bike was on top of me, or my wrist is pretty sore and my knee too, but it's just it's the way it goes, right? But obviously that happened after the pit board, so three more turns later I was coming to the pits and the guys were ready for me. We got tires on the bike, kind of got the tail section was a little smashed up, got that taped in and back out, and to be honest I don't think we lost all that much time. Maybe we lost 20 seconds, and I think obviously, like you're saying, the coverage is obviously kind of falling some of the front guys, right, and bounces back and forth to some of the other battles, but some of the stuff like that doesn't get seen. And when you come around and are only 30 seconds slower, people are like, oh, there's no way he crashed, right? But
credit to you for collecting yourself and being able to find a way. I would also say that Ben Young's dad, because I was sitting there right on the pit wall, like the, hey, we need the tape, right? I'm sure you heard it. You were talking to people and communicating and trying to grab water and all the rest because you come in. But he was real quick on the tape from being on the wall there, where he just said, like, hey, we need this and we need it now. Grabs it. You know, somebody slaps a little piece on. He goes, no.
Yeah.
You know, it hucks it down, grabs the tail, pulls it, wrap. Okay, I think we're good. Let's get it back out, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, to be honest, you know, obviously the first lap or two going back out, you know, need to feel it out. You know, again, I was pretty, I kind of knew right away.
Did it feel better after it had been wrapped, though? Like, in terms of aero and otherwise? Like,
well, no, I mean, you know, obviously the first couple laps going back out after an incident like that, you know, I was pretty confident I knew what it was with that I'd smoked that curb and the tire went flat by the time I got to turn six. But, you know, obviously not going to go back out and go 180 miles an hour and not really know, right? So, you know, felt it out a little bit the first lap, but, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, the guys did a great job, because I wouldn't say the bike felt off. I wouldn't say, you know, I even noticed the tape or anything along those lines. So,
right. So. Need an autograph?
What's that, sorry?
The numbered things?
They're kind of like a set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can take one of the number ones. The number ones, you can take a number one. How's that work? Sure. You're welcome.
Bike week, baby. Yeah.
Well, I'll make another one. It's no
problem. Yeah. I mean, those are one speed ink customs. But
yeah. I think.
There you go. Number one.
I think there's 7 or 8 one speed pit boards going out there along the wall. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, you know, that's endurance racing, right? You know, you got to physically, you got to be there. You know, I guess it's hard to plan for taking a beating, but keep going. But yeah, you know, we've talked earlier about all the work to get here.
Yep.
I wasn't going to throw in the towel as long as I could keep going, right? So, to end up still in the top 20, you know, we had an extra pit stop because we kind of pitted, I think, 6 laps before when we would have. So we needed to come in for a splash with about 5 to go. But, you know, I don't think it really made much of a, you know, maybe one position kind
which,
of thing.
Which, again, though, like, I was at your pit practice, and I saw you guys were grinding away on different things, different scenarios pop up in real time. And how proud are you at the idea that you guys came in, did a splash and go, and it was smooth?
Yeah. Well,
that's pretty unique, right?
Like, yeah. And that was the type of thing, obviously, like, there's not communication with me. And, you know, Kenny's on the pit board, and, you know, he's not in the pits, right? He's just talking them over the radio. And, you know, they're trying to do the calculations. Can we finish on fuel? And, you know, we might have been able to, but, you know, again, in the end, I don't think it really changed the result. And, you know, maybe gave me a minute to stretch my legs too, coming down pit lane. But yeah, the guys are ready. Even when that incident happened, right? Like I said, it was after the pit board. So no one knew when I came in, you know, like I said, maybe 6 laps before I was supposed to, that I was coming in. And yet they were, you know, pretty much all ready to go. We got tires on it, and you know, and like I said, the guys got a couple issues fixed, and you know, we really didn't lose much time. So awesome. You know, so again, it's like, you know, the experience of you know, Scott, you know, him as a racer himself in the past, but also his experience with Ben and you know, them doing this race a bunch of times. It's you know, there was it might not have ended the same way had all those guys been there, right? So it's, you know, it's a big team, and you know, my hat's off to everyone. You know, people are thanking me for building the bikes, but you know, I'm super appreciative to all their efforts too.
I do think you're underplaying it a little bit, because I've seen how hard you've actually worked. Like, I've been in there and seen the specs of what you've tried to create, which I think is incredible, and I know that you'll downplay that. But the last question that I'll give to you here before I let you go and hang out with the family and all the rest is, Ben finishes top 10. And you guys have teamed up. You dreamed about this. I talked with him about this before you came on, about building this program and wanting to do this together, having a vision of what this could be and all the rest. I'm not going to ask you, oh, was it a success? Was it a failure? That's too black and white. That's not what I'm asking. But what I'm saying is, how proud are you of the idea that something you had your hands physically on for an extensive period of time at one of the elite international races just finished top 10?
Yeah, you know, it'll probably take a little bit settle in, start thinking about that, and not think about the pain I'm in right now. But it's awesome. I'm really happy for Ben. You know, they came down. You know, like I said, they've been here a few times, and you know, I know Ben trains really hard, and he's 100%, 110% into it. So to be able to put him on a package to get a result, You know, and yeah, you look at some of the names, but also some of the teams. You know, this was our first weekend running this package, working together here, you know, or period, really. And, you know, some of the, so not just the Suzuki teams, but all the teams, you know, these are Moto America teams. These are guys who are, have been racing Daytona for years, have been setting up the bikes and, you know, roll the things out of the trailer and already know and already in the window. And for us to, in a couple of days, you know, work through a couple of things and get a solid result, you know, I think it's awesome. And, you know, it's going to be a year till the next one. But, you know, it's exciting. You know, I hope we're able to take what we learned this year and build from it. And, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe we can come back with a better bike. And, yeah, yeah, it's exciting.
I agree.
So
I agree.
It'll be a long year.
Well,
but,
that's okay.
We got plenty of racing up in Canada till then. So
it was special to watch you guys put the program together. And I think you did an incredible job based on the conditions and everything else you guys went through over the last couple of days. So also, it was just badass watching that helmet go through the tri-oval. I gotta say, your helmet design again, the custom on that one with the one speed, it was everybody's got fun color schemes and different this and rims, and there's nothing like your helmet.
Yeah, well, hopefully I gotta take a look at it. Hopefully I didn't put a big scratch on the side. Hopefully I didn't wipe one of the cats or my fiance off the back of it. She wouldn't be happy.
We'll find out together. Trev, congratulations. Yeah, man, it's super fun watching you do what you do, and we're looking forward to seeing you again.
Awesome, I appreciate it.
Welcome back inside the Bridgestone paddock here at the Bridgestone CSBK Experience, I think is what we're calling it. It's kind of like Orlando, right, guys? I mean, everybody comes to hang out, and it's the happiest place on earth. After the end of all the racing at the end of the day, it is Willie Vass alongside Scott Cartier. You guys have been instrumental in helping Ben get to 10th overall today in the Daytona 200. Willie, I'll begin with you. What has it been like working alongside Trevor Daly, trying to get this bike into a place where you felt like you could place in a position that would make everybody involved happy?
Oh, I think it's like any weekend where you just have to work through the problems that present themselves and solve them and do the best you can.
The problems that presented themselves, did you have plans in place? Because I've already talked with Ben and Trevor about the idea that, like, yeah, brakes might have been a problem. This place is hellacious on different parts of the bike. And you go into the weekend, you find a way to power through it. Friday, then it becomes set up and different little fixtures on the bike. Did you have a plan in place, or was this scrambling, figuring it out, let's stay late in the night and find some solutions to get them up?
We only really stayed late the one night, yeah. I would say. So that was our scramble day to try and get a little data on the bike. The rest of them, it's... honestly, we just worked through them.
Figured it out.
Yeah, Scott, just figured it out.
Scott, I talked to you in the middle of the race. You said, you know, if it's usually, you know, the 20, 22 laps, you know, we figure it out on the fly and we kind of go with it and set it to our hands and all the rest. You were kind of paced around and going, I don't know what to do with myself, because it at this point, it is what it is. What was your experience like watching Ben climb? Because that's what I enjoyed, honestly, about watching this race, was seeing Benny just kind of methodically go, yeah, I know what to do in this situation. I've got the Rahals in front of me. I got the Yark guys here. I got this here. I got that. And you could just see his racecraft and his experience kind of go pick off this, pick off that, pick off this. And even when he got to a place where it was like he had PJ, I believe, in front of him at some point, and he just goes, you know what? He's faster than me right now. Or Stefano Mesa. He's like, you know what? He's going to cruise off in the distance. I know where I'm at right now. What was the experience for you, like, building this thing out, seeing the program come to life, and then seeing Ben take control of it on a race day?
It was great. When we're standing there watching him, like, there's nothing that we can do. We can only do our job when he comes into the pit. Yep. We do it before, and then when he comes in. So we get to stand back and enjoy, actually. And I do pace nervously, normally. But this one...
a lot.
Yes, a lot. This one, not as much. The nerves weren't as bad. Maybe because I knew there was a pit stop coming or not, so we could just sit right back and watch him and watch the new timing feature they had here. We could see him live on the track, and that actually helps.
I was going to say, how much was that a benefit for you guys to be able to understand the timing? Because the live timing stuff is usually in CSBK paddock what you'd be on your phones and be seeing, like, the race timing app or something of that nature, where you're trying to keep up with it and understand what's happening out on the track. But for this, it was real time. I know for myself, I was just down from you guys at the Bridgestone tent and I was watching literally on television seeing the splits. And then Ben comes buzzing past my face, and I'm going, okay, so I see this, and then I understand that right behind him is, you know, Richie Escalante or Josh Herron's coming up on him or whatever it might be. How helpful was that to you?
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Because we could sit on our phone, see where he was on track live. We knew he's coming around the banking, and if we knew he was coming in that lap, we didn't have to wait till we saw him. We knew he's going to be there, be ready. It was really nice, actually. And I think that took away some of the nerves. Because when you're sitting there for a minute 50 thinking, where is he, where is he? Now we can watch and see, okay, he's, you know, going through the bus stop or something. It was great.
It gives us an advantage that the larger teams have with staff, where they had spotters out on the track, and we basically have a spotter in this software. So it's terrific.
It gave you the opportunity to understand where he was at, what he was doing. But then you still have the element of, well, he's got to come in and swap out the wheels and, you know, make sure the chain is good. And it's like front, back, gas. Like, how nervous are you guys as somebody who has helped create the bike alongside Trevor and all the rest in trying to see that thing pull in? Because I love the picture I got today of Ben's dad just standing there waiting, right? And Glenn's out there and everybody's got, and it's like, okay, boys, now it's real, right? Like, nothing else matters. It's like, we either do this thing right or we don't. And it's like, you guys are standing there on the wall and going, we understand the data. We understand how we built it. We understand what this bike is about. But how do we get him out in a position that can allow both seeing Ben go to 10th or Trevor go to 20th? How do we get them out in a spot where we can give them the best chance to have success? How stressful is that actually for you in a race like this? Because I could ask you this question anytime during the Canadian Superbike Championship year, and it would be, well, you know, it's 20 laps, this thing's 57. It's two stops. And so you get a whole different dynamic. It's not exactly a flag to flag or, you know, hopping off bikes and hopping on, but it's still stressful, I would imagine, as somebody who has helped create this thing of saying, how do we put them in the best situation possible? Because that's, when I look at this, again, coming from a football background, coaches' jobs is to try and put their players in the best situation possible to have success. You guys, to me, are essentially coaches, right? You're the ones who are just trying to put them in the best situation to have success. And so it comes in and it's like, well, I am the head coach, but I can't do anything at this point, right? They're pulling down Putnam.
Yeah, I feel that way a lot, actually. I'm like, well, hope it goes good. There's just so many moving parts is what it is, and that's just the thing. There can be so many things can go wrong here. That's the thing.
Yeah, when it comes down to the pit stop, though, I actually find it's not stressful because we are here as a team and as professionals. So when that's actually happening, the minute I see him coming down the pit road, everything's out of my mind and focusing on one job and nailing it. When I'm on that front wheel doing it, I can't even hear what's happening. I don't know if fuel's going in or anything. It's just focus on your job.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. So,
the last question I'll ask you guys before I let you go and tear down whatever this circus is that we've been living in for the last couple of days, Willie, nodding along, is what do you find most rewarding? I'll begin with you, Willie. What do you find most rewarding about the experience of being here, getting the... I saw you at the pit practice, and you said, well, I have an idea where we might finish. And I said, well, I'll ask you on the podcast. And I don't know if, you know, you match what you thought you were going to be or otherwise, but outside of that, I'm just saying, what gives you the reward of, we invested time and money and effort into all of this, and we're leaving here today in Daytona, and here's what it looks like. What do you feel good about leaving Daytona in 2024?
I just feel good about that, you know, we work together. It's such a team sport, even though there's just the one rider, that we work together and in a common direction, and everybody just does their job, and we get do the best we probably could have done.
Right. Scott, what about you?
Yeah, finishing 10th like this together, I think, is a huge accomplishment. The bikes came together really well, but super late. We basically figured this bike out this weekend.
Yeah.
So for the team to come together and finish like this, top Canadian, three sets of Bridgestones in the top 10, it's quite rewarding.
Was there a moment where you guys saw Richie Escalante starting to fade, and you're like, come on, ninth!
Yeah, we thought.
Come on, ninth!
We're hoping for about 8 people to run out of gas.
There was a moment in the final couple of laps where I'm hearing Greg White and Jason Brickmore on the broadcast. I'm going, how many people are going to drop? I'm like, this could be one of those
it
weird.
It can happen.
It's one of the weird situations where I was going, is Ben going to be 24th?
Yeah.
Could Ben get a podium as everybody's wiggling their bikes around like Richie was at the end of this race? I mean, it was all kind of up in the air, but regardless of the way that it finished, top 10 is incredible, and having Trevor be in 20th as well, you guys chipping away with him, trying to figure out all the issues throughout the weekend. Congratulations. Hope you enjoyed it. Get some Daytona sun before you get out of here, right?
10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Get on the plane, head north, and we're looking forward to talking to you guys in the CSBK season as well. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.